In our study on Wednesday nights in the book of Romans, I've called your attention to a passage we looked at recently in Romans chapter 10. As Paul is talking to the Jewish Christians, letting them know that God has allowed the Gentiles to come in, but that did not break his promises to Israel as well. And he says in verse 5, "For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law, the man who does these things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach." This is a statement by the Apostle Paul, of course the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul, that you can know the truth. You can know the truth of God and find your way to heaven. So this morning I want to ask the question, are you seeking for God? What the passage said in Romans chapter 10 is you don't have to go down to the abyss, you don't have to go up into heaven, that the Word is near you and the Word of God is certainly available today. And as we think about that, we ask the question, are you really seeking for God? And so we look at some passages, Psalm 63, beginning with verse 1, a psalm of David, which he, when he was in the wilderness of Judah, "O God, you are my God, early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. Yes, my flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there's no water. So I've looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you." David had so many problems, and yet he was seeking the Lord. He wanted to be with God. We also look at a passage in Acts 17, beginning with verse 26, where Paul in Athens said, "He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord, in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though it's not far from each one of us." It's sad to think that the Athenians had many gods, and Paul was proclaiming the one and true God, and that they could see him and they could understand that, because they should seek the Lord, and when they seek the Lord, they would be able to find him. And Isaiah 55 in verse 6, another statement of promise, "Seek the Lord while he is found. Call upon him when he is near." And that tells us that you can find God. You don't have to go up to heaven or down into the abyss, because the Word of God is here. How many Bibles do we have in our nation? How many Bibles do we have in our home? If people would just read the Word of God, He's there. He's revealed Himself to us. Matthew chapter 7, beginning verse 7, Jesus said, "Ask, it shall be given to you. Ask, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened." Come right in. Glad to see you this morning. So we're looking at the idea of seeking for God. And as we look at these passages, we have the assurance of God that if you're looking for God, you can find Him. Because if you will seek, you'll find. If you knock, it will be opened. If you ask, you will receive. And this is something that is so good to realize, that God is not difficult to find. He's not hiding away from us. He's there for us to see. And the psalm that we read this morning in Psalms 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament shows His handiwork." And the psalmist went on to say, there's not a place in the world where the sun does not shine and where we can't see the glory of God. So if someone wants to find God, they can. I've heard Brother Ron Halbrook say that he believes that anybody in the world that seeks for God can know Him. And that's true in the sense that the Word of God has spread all through the world. The Bible is in so many different speeches and dialects today that people can have the Bible in their language. When Brother Halbrook goes to the Philippines, he always goes to the Philippine Bible Society and buys Bibles in their dialect and gives them away, because so many people are eager to have a Bible, and in some of those countries they do not. So he's living upon the idea and the promise that if you really seek God, you'll be able to find him. And I believe that is so true in our land today. And so we want to speak to those who would seek for God. But there's a wrong way to go about it that I want to talk about this morning, because hypocrisy sometimes enters into our lives. And in Luke chapter 10, beginning of verse 30, we talk about love for others, but Jesus gave the illustration of the man that was fell among thieves, and he was injured, and a priest walked by on the other side and did nothing for him. And then the Levite walked by on the other side and did nothing for him. And so that kind of love doesn't do anything. And when you have the word love on your lips, but it doesn't have a way of showing itself among people that need it, then that's not the way to seek the Lord. The Lord could understand the difference between a false love, and the priest and the Levite would, of course, understand that the law said, love God is the great commandment, then love your neighbors yourself, and that's brought in the New Testament, but they didn't do that, and so that's not the way to prove your love for God. 1 John chapter 2, John laments the fact that some went out from us and they were not of us. And here with some, come right in, folks, we're glad that you're here. We're looking at some things about seeking for God this morning. And one of the ways that we would say that we could would be constant attendance. Hebrews 10:25 that we've looked at this morning in our class on the book of Hebrews speaks of the fact that we are to not forsake the assembling of ourselves. Now, people sometimes fail to understand that that's a participial phrase. It doesn't talk about one assembly. It's rather when the church meets together, then I'm going to be in the assembly, assembling with the saints. And that's what the writer of the Hebrew letter is saying. But when you divide a church, as John is talking about, then you really don't show your love for God that way. And so there's some false ways that we would think about seeking for the Lord, and we want to look at those. And then in Romans chapter 10, the Apostle Paul again talked about the Jews who had a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Well, you can't really seek God if you don't have the knowledge of God. The reason why so many people do not know God today is because they never read the Word of God. They never search the Scriptures to find out what the Word of God really is. And what I'm affirming this morning is that anybody can read the Bible seeking to find God and find Him. Now, the hypocritical people who claim to love God, who claim to do those things, will not, of course. And so there are some things that do not help that. And Revelation chapter 2, the Lord was speaking about, I think, the church at Ephesus, and the fact that they allowed false doctrine. They did suffer a lot for God, but they had left their first love. Well, you know, if you're teaching sound doctrine, but you don't love God, what good does it do? It's not a matter of just talking about what's right. Yes, we need to teach the truth. Never teach anything wrong. But sound doctrine is not really understood. It doesn't help you to find God when you don't love God to start with. And the church at Ephesus was told they had to repent and return to their first love, or God was going to take their candlestick out of its place. So we need to understand clearly that we need to attend the services, but we need also to teach the truth and to love God while we're doing it. And then in Romans chapter 2, we have another statement about things that people can do that really will not help them seek God. And he's talking in chapter 2 to the Jews who had turned away or turning away from God because of the Gentiles. And he said in verse 21, "You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal?" And so they were doing some of the same things that the world was doing, even while they claimed to be a Christian. So if we're going to seek God through evangelism, we have to really do the things that God wants us to do and not do what the world does. And so he was accusing them again of hypocrisy, even though they claimed to love the Lord. And then benevolence, Paul talked to the Corinthian church and talked about the qualities of love. And he says, if you give your body even to be burned and have not love. And so you see the zeal again of some people that'll do this and they'll do this and they'll do this, but it's ritual. It's not love, it's ritual. They do it because of habit. And each of us has to look in our heart and to recognize whether or not we do what we do because we really love God and we love the brethren. And when we find out that we can do these things, then we really can say we love God. And he talks about giving various things, but if you don't have love, it's useless. You're like a sounding brass, he said, or just a blowing trumpet. You make noise, but there's no real good that's being done. We have to be sure that's not us. We're talking about things that do not help us to find the Lord that we can seek. And so Jesus talked about some of that in Mark chapter 5 and verse 46. When he's talking about the Sermon on the Mount, in verse 46, he says, "For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same?" And so he's talking about really loving the brethren. When we shake hands together as brethren, I know that I shake hands with people out in the world. But there's something different when I shake hands with a brother or sister in Christ. It's a special connection because of the fellowship that we enjoy together and because we commune together in Jesus Christ, and all that means something to us. So I'm affirming that we can seek the Lord if we're not hypocritical, and we can find the Lord if we really are seeking for Him. And so there's some things now that we can know. We're seeking to know more about God, so I study the Bible. Here's a flaw in so many people not finding the Lord. They're not reading the Bible. God has revealed Himself. He's not trying to fade away. He's not trying to hide behind the clouds. God has revealed Himself through the Scriptures. And He says so much of that in Psalms 119 about the power of the gospel of Christ, or the power of the Word of God. And so we need to read a little bit of that, beginning in verse 97 of Psalms 119. By the way, that's the longest chapter in the Bible. But beginning in verse 97, the writer said, "Oh, how I love your law." I want to pause there. Can you say that? I mean, do you really love the law of God? Do you seek God through the law of God? Because He reveals Himself. Even as Psalms 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, but you don't know who that God is looking at the heavens. A lot of people have been misled because they just look at the heavens. When in reality, though the heavens declare His glory, His Word tells us who He is and what we should know. And so He said, "I love your law, it is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." Now the chapter goes on to talk about the Word of God and what a blessing it is. But we even sing a song about the Word of God, "Sweeter Than Honey." And it's something that we say because we really believe it. What would our life be without the Word of God? You look at nations who have not usually known the Word of God, and they have rejected the Word of God, such as Russia in the past, an atheistic nation, and many nations that are guided by false gods. And you see all kinds of problems that they have that Christians don't have. And we talked this morning about the fact that I don't have the fear of death the way some do. There's a confidence about the life of a Christian, because I have come to know the Lord. And I really believe, because I've been baptized into Christ, the Lord has come to know me. And as I think on these things, and I recognize that God has been so good and gracious to tell me about Himself and what He wants for me. And He doesn't want anything out of reason. He wants me simply to live a good life, glorify God, and help others. So I can learn about the Bible that. And I'm seeking to worship God so I can attend every service that I can. Now, we've already noted that we have a lot of sickness in the congregation. They're not here this morning. But in Psalms 122, verse 1, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from which come my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. I've occasionally run into people who say their life is just too sad, too full of problems, and they just quit the Lord and they quit the church. Folks, that's the very time you need the Lord. And that's the very time when you can find the Lord, because you have this sense of need. I have said before, and I really believe, that there is within each of us a black hole. We understand that in space, what a black hole is, and it needs to fill up. And we have a need for God. Ecclesiastes says that He has put eternity in our hearts. And what that says is that I know that I'm more than an animal. The Bible tells me that I'm more than an animal because I was made in the image of God, the book of Genesis tells me. And there is something within me that says I need God. Well, if I understand that need and I seek, Jesus said, if you seek, you'll find. If you'll ask, you receive. If you knock, it'll be opened. And those are promises of God, and He's not going back on His promises. So I will tell people, if you really want to seek for God, you can find Him. He's not far from us. And the Apostle Paul was telling that in Acts 17. He was moved because as he came into Athens, there were many, many idols there. Even an idol to the unknown God. And Paul was saying, this unknown God that you worship is the very one that I serve. He's the true God, and he proved that in the city of Athens. So I can know the Lord, I can understand Him, and I can be His child. So I'm seeking to serve God. So I battle sin. Again, in the book of Romans, Paul talks about the battle that goes on with each one of us. He talks about the fact that I look at the law and I acknowledge that the law is good. God's law is for my good. But he said it finds something within me, the law of sin, that leads him astray. And each of us at different times has felt that battle within us where we're trying to do good and the temptation is to do evil. And as we go through that battle, we really understand our need for God. I can't do it by myself. I don't try to do it by myself because I know that I need God. If we could just get people to understand that need for God, what a different world it would be, because they could find Him if they would need Him. And so there are passages that tell us these things that we need to know and we can understand them. In the book of Titus, in chapter 2 and in verse 14, Paul wrote to Titus saying that he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. And so we need to have this sense of being special to God, because we fight sin and we're trying to overcome sin. Now it also said in that verse that he can redeem us from every lawless deed. The word redeem is a salvation term. It suggests that you've sold yourself into something and you don't have the price to redeem it. And Jesus paid the price to redeem us. We've sold ourselves to Satan. We've sold ourselves to wickedness in times past. And I can't have the price within me to pay for that. But Jesus paid the price. That's His blood. As we took the Lord's Supper this morning, we were reminded of the blood of Christ. It's so precious because it's through the blood of Christ that I'm redeemed. He paid the price that I couldn't pay. Now then, I need to emphasize that we're saved by the blood of Christ. But we reach the blood of Christ in the act of baptism. Romans chapter 6, beginning about verse 3 and 4, talks about being buried with our Lord in baptism, that we might rise to walk in newness of life. And so when you're buried with Christ, you, in baptism, you reach the blood. It's not the water of baptism. We've never taught that the water is what saves us. It is the blood of Christ that saves us. But the question is, where do you find the blood? And the blood is found through baptism. Jesus said that in Mark 16, 15 and 16. He also said that in Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's how you seek God. It's just that simple. The world rejects it, but that's what the Bible says. In Acts chapter 2, on the first time that a sermon was preached after the resurrection of Christ in Acts 2, Peter told the assembled crowd they had crucified the Son of Glory. And he proved that Jesus was the Son of God. The Bible says they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And that's a legitimate question. Have you ever asked that? When you recognize your sins, do you say, "Well, what am I going to do about them? Just ignore them?" No, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." I really don't understand the religious world that denies that. Words have meaning. The phrases have meaning. When the Bible tells me that baptism is for the remission of sins, it means that. The Apostle Paul, while he was persecuting the church, he was still known as Saul, he was on his way to Damascus to put Christians in prison, and he had a vision, and he saw the Lord. And he recognized that he had been persecuting the church, and he wanted to know what to do. Well, he didn't receive Holy Spirit baptism like some people say. The Lord told him to go into Damascus, and there it will be told him what to do to be saved. He went into Damascus, and God caused a gospel preacher to come and to visit him. And he said in Acts 22:16, "Paul," or Saul, "what are you waiting for? Arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins." That's the language of Scripture. That's not a Church of Christ tradition. That's not our law. This is the teaching of the Word of God. And we're teaching the same thing today when I use these passages as was used 2,000 years ago in the days of the apostles. How could it possibly be wrong? We're repeating what the apostles taught, and as such, we should be able to understand that. In Hebrews 10:24, again, we've looked at that this last week in our study in the morning class. We're to exhort one another for good works, and so we're telling one another to keep doing good works and to let the words of Christ dwell in you richly. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. So, when one really is seeking God, I'm seeking to honor God. So I stress the need for sound doctrine and obedience, wanting to do His will as He has instructed us. I want to do what God has said. Now, on the shelves in my library, I've got a number of creed books. I've read the creed books because I want to be sure about my faith. Every creed book that I've ever read adds something to the gospel of Christ or takes something away. None of them are equal to the Word of God. And so we talk about the Word of God and how important it is. And in the book of Romans again, which has so much to say about our salvation, in Romans chapter 6, beginning of verse 16, Paul said, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness." So they obeyed something. And they called it the form of doctrine. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us the doctrine of Christ is the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's the good news of the gospel. But the people at Rome obeyed a form of that. Now, if you look through the Bible from one end to the other, the only form of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is the death, burial, and resurrection of the sinner to new life because he's been baptized to reach the blood and be forgiven, to be redeemed. So these are the things that tell us very clearly how we might seek the Lord and to find Him. So I'm seeking to share the knowledge of God with others. David, after his sin with Bathsheba, asked for forgiveness. He acknowledged his sin and asked for a clean heart. And with a clean heart said, then will I teach others. If I feel that I have a clean heart, I want to teach others about that. And 1 Thessalonians, the Thessalonians received the gospel as it were indeed the word of God. You see, that's how you seek. That's how you come to know God. That's how you're found in the family of God. Because you understand the importance of doing God's will, because heaven is the end result of that. I want to go to heaven. And as a preacher, I want to tell everybody about how to go to heaven, so that not a one of you will ever be lost. But you'll go to heaven because you seek the Lord and you'll find Him and you'll obey the gospel and become a Christian. And so in Acts chapter 2, you read the story of the Pentecostal Christians, the ones on the day of Pentecost who obeyed the gospel, and those that gladly received His word were baptized. And then verse 47 of that same chapter says, the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. So that's the plan of salvation. That's how we seek the Lord, and we need to understand that. So how can I know that? Well, I love others because I love and obey God. Scriptures are full of this as it talks about the greatest commandment of all, like in Matthew 22. The greatest commandment of all is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, this is the law. This is what the law teaches. And that's what the law of Christ teaches. So I'll not look at all of these passages this morning, but I hope that you understand that what we're saying is that you can know the Lord. And in Romans chapter 10, the Jews were having trouble with that. Again, I read that a little bit earlier. And he said, the word is near you. And that's true. You know, you might have a Bible in your hand and the word not be near you because you haven't opened your heart to the word. And if you'll open, this is not just a book of fiction. I know these are words on a printed page, but they're more than that. They're the Holy Spirit-inspired message of God. And when I read and understand it, and Paul affirms in Ephesians 3 verse 4, when you read it, you can have my understanding of the mystery of Christ. If you want to understand the Bible, read it, because that's what God gave it for. And I can understand that. So this morning, we ask the question, are you really seeking for God? Let that be a personal question to you. Are you looking at somebody else? Are you seeking for God? Well, are you studying the Bible? Because it's there. The book of John has 7 miracles of Jesus to affirm that He is the Son of God. The book of Acts tells how the people of the first century became Christians. Example after example of individuals who obeyed the gospel of Christ, were baptized into the Lord, and had remission of their sins. Are you attending services consistently? Because in our worship services, we look at the text of the Bible. We don't have creed books. We don't have headquarters somewhere that tells us what we're supposed to believe, what we're supposed to preach. We don't have a creed book to follow. This is it. Way back when people in America first began to study the Bible and forget creeds, they said, let's do away with all the creeds, just get back to the Bible. They came up with a slogan. And the slogan is good. It says, where the Bible speaks, we'll speak. But where the Bible is silent, we'll be silent. And that's an amazing statement that the Bible certainly recommends. 2 John 9 says, don't go beyond what is written. And don't invite those into your home that teach a different doctrine. Are you zealous? Do you really want to go to heaven? Does that fill your heart? Is that a guiding light in you? That you really want to go to heaven? It's not pie in the sky by and by. It's a real place. Jesus said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may come also. Now, I want to go there. I don't want to ever teach anything contrary to God. I don't want to believe anything contrary to God. I don't want to do anything contrary to God. I just want to please the Lord and go to heaven. I won't have that zeal. Then am I teaching and following sound doctrine? Yes, this church is sound. The word sound means healthy in the original Greek. That is, the doctrine that we preach is a healthy doctrine. It's healthy spiritually. It builds you up in the faith. It makes you stronger. And we're teaching and following that. Are we teaching others? Brother Sam, in his announcement this morning, noted that our website had over 400 people look at it this last week, and 181, I think, original viewers. You folks are doing what you're supposed to do. You're teaching others. You're passing out the cards that talk about the website, and people are looking at it. And we're willing then to tell others about the gospel. And benevolent, that we care for others. We help others when they have need. This church takes care of its own from the standpoint of those who might have a physical need, that we do that. And that's what the Bible tells us to do. And so we're looking at this. And the conclusion is very clearly that we can find Him if we'll seek Him and with all of our heart. Not just a part of it, but with all of our heart. And the Bible says, seek Him while He can be found. We said in class this morning, and I believe it's true, there's a limit to the grace of God. To understand God, you have to understand that He has different characteristics. One of them is that God is love. The other is that God is a God of wrath. And He speaks about that wrath in the fact that the judgment day, some are going to hell because they have not done what He's wanted them to do. And the Bible says that today is the day of salvation if you harden not your heart. And so we close this morning with the understanding that yes, you can find the Lord. You can understand what